Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That's quite a lengthy passage from Scripture, isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you now that it can all be boiled down to my sermon title, Can You See? Who here thinks they can see? You're on to me. I suspect most of you, if not all of you, can see. But why is this in Scripture? What is Jesus trying to tell us? What does John want us to get here? And it's clear that people let their misconceptions shape what they see. And I'm sure we've seen this all in our personal lives. We've seen this nationally. There are people who see stuff that just is not there. And one of the things I've learned as I've gotten older is that the human capacity to be stupid is limitless. I am guilty of it. I suspect some of you may have been too. But there is some stuff that is so plainly clear, and yet we refuse to believe it. Why? Why don't we want to let go of our preconceptions? Why don't we want to see things that need our attention? So in the past week, I've had a couple of opportunities to mull this question. I'm not going to name any names here, but I've dealt with a couple of family situations with parishioners who have had to either reflect on a problem in their home, or they've had to deal with a health issue that has militated the need for change in how they live their lives. Not easy things to do. And at first there was resistance, especially for the people who needed to make some changes at home. But they saw reality for what it was, not what they wanted it to be. And so they've made the changes, and it's good. And in the other case, it was a matter of the family and the individual involved who saw that they needed some help. And they've gotten it. And we pray for them. But why is it always easy when we hear stories like this for us to nod and to think, oh, that's really good, but when it's ourselves, we don't want to do it? I was out in Cleveland last week for a meeting of the United Church Funds at the UCC headquarters, and I needed to use a men's room one day. And they've got a men's room, they've got a women's room, they've got a genderless bathroom, and I went to the men's room. And there on the sink basin was a container labeled Menstrual Products for All. You laugh, and frankly, that's the first time I've ever seen that. But what skin is it off my teeth? It's a bathroom. Everybody does the same thing in bathrooms. And the UCC, I don't know if there are any trans people working there, or if it's just because they want to be welcoming to people who might be visiting, or frankly, if it's virtue signaling, but they were saying that everybody should be welcome here. Now think about it. Most of us, I suspect, have not had much experience with trans people. But what skin is it off any of our teeth? The energy we have, and I'm not saying we as in we here, but we in general, have to devote to hating people or to fearing people we don't know or recognize is energy that is wasted. And again, these are words that are easy to say. And then when it comes time to actually deal with this stuff, we need to work a little bit harder as we think about the issues. But really, what's important to us? And can we see what is important to us? I know this is something we hear as little kids. And then as we get older, we just push it out of our heads. But we are ultimately all the same. We may not all be the same color. We may not all have the same sexual orientation. But we are all human beings. That's it. There's only one kind of human. And God made us all. Now, I feel like I need to talk more to justify this 41 verse passage. But I feel like I could just leave the message here. But think about those times when you have been so invested in a position, in a behavior, that you have not wanted to let go. It's okay to let go. It's okay to try a new way. Yes, these words can be words that mean nothing to us, but these are words that can also liberate us. Remember what Jesus said at the beginning of the story in John. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. I want you to focus on the first part of that verse. God did not inflict the blindness on them as punishment. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. God does not give us an infirmity because God wants us to learn. God's not trying to teach us a lesson. God's definitely not doing that through our kids. Yes, it would be wonderful if none of us had any physical infirmities or mental challenges we needed to deal with or defects in our behavior, but then we wouldn't be human. We'd be automatons. And I frankly would find that kind of world very boring to live in. So look at how Jesse reacted to Samuel as he struck down his kids one after another. Not that one, not that one, not that one. And finally he chose the last son, the runt of the litter. But of course, the author of the book of Samuel has to tell us, well, actually he was ruddy and very handsome. But how often do people go looking for a leader based on their appearance? Harrison Ford made a very credible president in the movies. But we shouldn't just be making choices based on appearances. And we're called to look inside at what people say and what they profess and what they do. Do you know, I've had some troubles with the book of John over the years because it's got some latent anti-Semitism in it. So I think it was really preposterous for John to write, the Jews believe this, the Jews believe that. No. The Jewish leadership believed that. One group of people should not have their beliefs ascribed to all people. Can't do that. So those of you who read my Lenten reflections know I wrote about St. Patrick's Day earlier this week. And I don't think we really honor St. Patrick or his legacy by putting on green hats or shirts or going over to Salt Hill Pub at 9 in the morning and getting drunk. They were doing that in Cleveland too. People were at the doors to the bar before it opened. Yes, geez. But people do that. I don't know why. And I knew the coronavirus pandemic was serious when Governor Sununu issued the lockdown order the day before St. Patrick's Day a couple years ago. And I'm sure that the owners of Salt Hill were really sad because that is their Christmas. And the place was closed. Nobody was there. So I ask you the question I asked you at the beginning of our remarks. Can you see? A corollary question is, do you want to see? Do you want to see the people in need of our help? Do you want to see the things that need to be changed in our community? Do you want to see? And so I think everybody here can see. It's a question of will. And yet sometimes willpower is not enough to get us over the finish line. So we need to pray. We need to rely on our friends and our family. And sometimes they may need to chide us. They may need to wag their finger at us. But remember, they're doing that because they care about you. They care about me, not because they want to be nasty. So I feel uncomfortable telling a story about Chip when he's not in the room, but it's not about Chip per se, it's about something he does. But I'm on a couple of medications I need to take on a daily basis, and one of them involves my acid reflux, which is a condition that can be treated with a prescription. I'd always thought this would take an Alka-Seltzer pill for a couple of days and be done, but no, it's something that goes on. And if I don't treat my acid reflux, I cough. And Chip is all over me like a bad rug. Have you taken your meds? Yes. Have you taken your meds? Yes. And he's doing that not because he wants to be a teenage jerk, but because he cares about me. And for the record, I did take my medication this morning. That was the last thing I was coherent enough to do before I got my day going. But the story from John is interesting because I was going to ask you how many people here have had experience with faith healings? Faith healings. So, nobody?
No, I
don't. Oh, I'm sorry, Betsy. And Linda? Barb? So, were those faith healings that resulted because of prayer? Or were those things that took place at a revival or in a church where you had to go down to the front and someone laid their hands on you and then you were cured? Barb?
I was the only person
but that's not faith healing.
Oh.
So I'm talking about the preacher walking up to you, moving the chair, laying a hand on your head and saying, Barbara, you are healed of your affliction. And there's some talk normally with some specificity, and the lame are able to walk, the blind are able to see.
Oral Roberts,
yes. So if you're not in the room, how do you know that happened? So as mainline Protestants, we don't have much experience or confidence in faith healings. The idea of a faith healing runs counter to our understanding of science and biology. But I will say this. We pray for people every week. And people in our congregation have attested to the power of prayer in their lives and the prayers of the congregation. I am not going to make any claims on behalf of spitting a mug with saliva and then rubbing it on someone's eyes to restore their sight. It sounds kind of sketchy to me. I can be weirded out by it because of the germs. The fact that I've had to wear these glasses my entire life. But maybe that's my problem. I'm not saying we shouldn't invest in healthcare for everyone. I know many people here work in healthcare. Others live in communities where they are provided medical support on a regular basis. Keep it up. But think about everything that feeds into your well-being. And we could talk about the psychology of prayer, the psychology of having a good attitude, and how those things can make a big difference. So just try to see. And Lent is a time when we need to look at our unwillingness to see things differently. To accept the reality of God's world for what it is. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you this day for new experiences that we each have, for the opportunity to learn anew, whether we're young or old, for the chance to see the beauty of your world and all in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.